This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood to excite your taste buds with a classic New Orleans sandwich, explore an arts extravaganza billed as a festival of the wild, weird, fresh, and original, delve into a comedic Italian opera, or perhaps a Russian ballet, we've got answers. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. In New Orleans, we love to eat. And come Sunday, the 6th annual Oak Street Po'boy Festival gets underway with an official opening ceremony beginning at 10 a.m. Festival producer Hank Staples.
We have the blessing of the po'boy by the priest at Mater de la Rosa, and then we also have the official cutting of the po'boy. That's like cutting the ribbon, you know. Only it's not cutting a ribbon, it's cutting a po'boy.
The humble po'boy was introduced in New Orleans during a violent streetcar strike in 1929 and served free to help the striking men. The sandwich at the Oak Street Po'boy Festival will be served in every combination imaginable, from comfort ingredients to the exotic, as more than 30 vendors show off its versatility.
There's, of course, traditional roast beef and shrimp, but there's also yakiniku po'boy, which is Japanese spiced beef and Japanese mayonnaise on po'boy bread. G.W. Finn's, of course, every year has the most popular sandwich with their lobster po'boy, and they will be back this year. And, of course, Ninja Restaurant, their fried softshell, panko-crusted fried softshell crab, is absolutely delicious, and they will have their signature dish available this year. Cowbell, which is located at the corner of Eagle and Oak Street at the 8800 block. Brack May, the owner of Cowbell, does some very, very creative things with food, and he'll have three or four very creative po'boys available at the end of Oak Street.
Now, you're being coy. Are you going to tell us what's on those po'boys?
He hasn't told me yet.
Oh, even you don't know.
I don't know, but I'm telling you, that's one of the places I'll be hitting.
It's going to be special.
Yeah.
The French bread that makes a po'boy so delightful is also being experimented with in creative ways.
There's a caterer in the neighborhood who has a booth this year, Pallet. And Pallet is doing fried chicken and waffle po'boy. So instead of traditional French bread, they have a waffle with fried chicken on it. So they've made a po'boy out of chicken and waffles. There's a new business at the end of Oak Street called Breads on Oak, which makes delicious homemade bread. And they'll be supplying bread to a couple of vendors, specially made just for the festival.
Some 50,000 people are expected to stroll the Oak Street corridor between Carrollton Avenue and Eagle Street during the 8-hour run of the Po'boy Festival. Music stages have been rearranged to accommodate the crowd. Headliners include...
We start off with Los Po'boycitos. Then we have Flow Tribe, then we have the Honey Island Swamp Band, and we close out with Treme Funk Tet, and that's on the main stage. And then the Tipitina stage showcases young up-and-coming talent from the high schools and junior high schools around the city of New Orleans.
You'll find an expanded kids area at St. Andrew's School with children's activities, food, and a playground. And for Saints fans...
We have a beer garden and tables and chairs to sit down and eat. We have televisions because there's a Saints game that day at 3 o'clock versus the Oakland Raiders. It's an away game, but you'll be able to watch the game, eat, and drink there. That's in Castellon's parking lot, which is at Dante Street and Oak.
There is also a paid VIP area.
If you purchase your VIP wristband, it's a free open bar. And there'll be some food there, but of course we have wonderful food available in the festival itself. And there's seating. There'll be, some music in the VIP area. That's at the corner of Cambrone and Oak Street, which is the parking lot for the Advocacy Center.
The 6th annual Oak Street Po'boy Festival gets underway Sunday as vendors compete for your taste buds and vie for first place in the best po'boy competition. The free Po' Boy Festival at Oak Street and Carrollton Avenue runs from 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Sunday, with opening ceremonies beginning at 10 a.m. WWNO is a media sponsor. Across town this weekend at the Mahalia Jackson Theater, the New Orleans Opera presents one of the music world's favorite works, Rossini's The Barber of Seville. New Orleans Opera Executive Director Todd Simmons recently sat down with WWNO's Farrah Hudkins to talk about the production.
You have in this production a great balance because you have a conductor, Robert Lyle, who is, I would say, a very theatrical conductor, views music as drama and theater. Then you have on the other side, you have Matthew Latta, the director, who is a very musical director and someone who takes into account what the singers need and what's best for them. And so between Robert and Matthew, you have each of them really working to make the other side the best. I did an interview with Matthew recently where he said that even though all of these characters are based on Commedia dell'arte characters, very old world, traditional comic characters, they have a very real, very personal side as well. And so he said he really works to find a balance of shtick and a real person coming out through the characterization. And Robert, you know, being the theatrical conductor, is there to work with him to help make the music fit as best possible to make the comedy come out, the real feelings come out, and a way that everybody watching it can identify with. So it's all about who these people really are and how they bring their traditions and their backgrounds of history into the roles, but also find how each of these artists individually bring their personal feelings and histories to the role. And then they find that all together, that as the whole group find their own way for a new production.
In the case of something like Barber of Seville, a lot of the comedy is visual.
Absolutely.
So you have to see it in order to appreciate something apart from just the notes.
I've experienced that when listening to the Met on the radio, where in one of the recitatives, you'd hear some kind of clunking around, and then you hear audience members laughing, and you're like, what's going on? They weren't singing anything, had nothing to do with anything else other than what was happening right then, right there. And if you weren't seeing it, you weren't going to be getting it. That absolutely happens a lot, particularly in comedies. This is going to be a very traditional production. You know, you're set in, I would say, the 1800s. You're going to be having period costumes, a period set, very Spanish overtones. Basically what you think of when you think of Barber of Seville and you think of opera. I have met all the principal artists, and I have to tell you, they're a really amazing group of people. The lead bass in the production who is singing our Basilio is Samuel Ramey, who has been one of the reigning international opera stars for the last 30 years. He is an amazing gift for us to have him working with us, and particularly at this point in his career. And it's amazing, this is also his New Orleans opera debut. Deborah Domansky, who has been making great strides with reviews and performances over the past few years, but is considered one of the up-and-coming stars. Michele Angelini, who is the tenor, also really breaking onto the scene as a real superstar in the Rossini tenor repertoire, balanced with Sam Raimi, as well as Tom Hammonds, who I believe he has done over 800 performances of the role of Bartolo. And so for somebody who knows how the role goes and someone who has done it more than a few times, and you get a great balance between real experience and tradition and real cutting-edge artistry. So Matthew Wirth, who is Figaro himself, he is the barber of Seville. Same thing goes for him. He is really breaking onto the scene huge. One of the biggest stars in this production will actually be the role of a super, and his name is Jack Bauer. And I can't tell you the role he'll be playing, but I can tell you that he'll be very easily noticed because he'll be the only bulldog on stage. And he is part of this production that the director had something very special that he needed a bulldog for. And I can also tell you that he's a handsome bulldog. He is Mr. January in the Bulldog Rescue Calendar. And Mr. Jack Bauer is, this will be his debut with New Orleans Opera. And we're all very excited about having him with us.
New Orleans Opera Executive Director Todd Simmons talking with Farrah Hudkins about The Barber of Seville. Performances are Friday night and Sunday afternoon at the Mahalia Jackson Theater. More info at neworleansopera.org. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm your host, Diane Mack. The New Orleans Fringe Festival is ready to bring fearless performers to fearless audiences. Now in its fifth year of production, the festival hopes to strengthen relationships between local artists and the community at large. For this week's Notes from New Orleans, Sharon Litwin spoke with Fringe's performance coordinator, Emily Whalen, about this year's upcoming festivities.
It's always intrigued me that the mother of all fringe festivals, the one that started the whole movement, happened in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1947, 2 years after the end of the Second World War. For the Brits and the Scots and everyone in Europe, those were tough years. Food was rationed, things looked pretty bleak, but not to the artists. Their indomitable spirit shone through in a series of off-the-grid, fantastic performances. Isn't it interesting that something similar happened here just a short time after our tragic event? For our Fringe Festival was kicked into place in 2008, just 3 years after Katrina, and it's been flourishing ever since.
New Orleans is the perfect city for spontaneous performance and for festivals. So having a New Orleans Fringe Festival of spontaneous theater feels like the right fit.
That's Emily Whalen, Fringe Festival Performance Coordinator, who recalls how founders Kristen Evans and Dennis Mon realized that what they were observing was what she says could only be described as a rogue, wild, incredible, and intelligent post-Katrina theater community.
Theater was all community on deck. Theater was many disciplines coming together. And they thought, it's time to put a festival to this and to get that catalytic time for everyone to come together and celebrate it.
Over the past 5 years, the New Orleans Fringe Festival has grown from a modest beginning to this year's five-day celebration, with 69 performances in venues around the city, including those called BYOV, Bring Your Own Venue.
This year we have over 40 that are happening in various pockets. We have a bunch that are happening around Aretha Castle Haley. We have a bunch that are happening around Mid-City, a few that are happening around Canal Street in downtown area. And these BYOVs, these self-producing, these shows get their own venue, get their own box office team, do their own press. They run the show. Demonstrate to us as the Fringe that our theater artists are getting very savvy and in some ways growing up. Then there's things like Family Fringe. And Family Fringe is my favorite part of Fringe. I also work as an educator and I just love what happens on Saturday and Sunday at our free-for-all tent. And this is from 12 to 5. And we have everything from Sankofa Market coming out and running a bunch of children's activities. We have a Rhubarb, which stands for Rusted Up Bikes Beyond All Recognition. They come in and they help. They're doing a bike fixing workshop. So if you're a kid and have a broken bike, come on by on the 17th. There's a whole team there ready to help you fix your bike. We have a hula hoop camp if you have a hula hoop, you can just come on down and learn some cool hula hooping tricks. We have performance artists like Donna Crump, who's going to be doing a dance workshop with kids, aerial performance. This all is going on free for all parents and children. And there's food vendors and beverage of all kinds, vendors there. It's a really wonderful event.
There are artist groups coming from around the country, and they'll be performing all through this weekend.
But one of them that we're particularly excited about is the Carpet Bag Brigade. They're coming to us from San Francisco, and they are an international gypsy traveling circus group that does beautiful dance work on stilts.
Still, I bet there's one thing we have Edinburgh never did.
To me, the culminating moment is the Fringe Parade. And this is led by the Good Children Carnival Club. And on Saturday at 2 p.m., they line up on Poland and St. Claude. And they come marching through the bywater, and they'll arrive at the free-for-all tent at 2:30, which is a really exciting moment for all the kids. They get ready for it.
But there's so much more. To check out the New Orleans Fringe Festival, go to WWNO.org or NOLAVIE.com. But be warned, it's cash only, so go to the ATM first. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Lipman.
More information about the New Orleans Fringe Festival can be found online at nofringe.org. We are so spoiled this weekend by our arts community with nonstop activities. For dance enthusiasts, Uptown is the place to be as the Loyola Ballet kicks off its new season with a mixed repertory concert featuring excerpts from Yuri Grigorovich's Russian ballet, The Stone Flower, a work spokeswoman Sarah Abrusley says is rarely performed.
In my 26 years of being immersed in dance, I've never had the privilege of seeing the Stone Flower performed. And I think that this is so important for us to note that right here on the corner of St. Charles and Calhoun, you can see work that is not being performed anywhere else in the world. And these are ballets and traditions that are in danger of dying out. And here it is, thriving at Loyola.
The Stone Flower is set to music by Prokofiev.
It's part of a series of Soviet ballets, in fact, but it's based on an old Russian folktale that originates in the Ural Mountains. What I know about the Stone Flower is that it, in fact, parallels this quest that the natural artist has to create his most perfect form of art. In our folktale, Danila is a stone carver. He's in love with a young village girl, Katerina, and he strives and strives to create the most perfect form of art for his love. And often the artist is driven to madness at this point. In his quest, Danila comes upon the queen of the Copper Mountain. And in traditional Soviet terms, we try to take a metallurgical theme at this point. And the Queen of the Copper Mountain takes him under her wing to assist him in this creation of the perfect art. However, she falls in love with him, and although she's trying to assist him, she's struggling with this desire to hold on to Danila. But eventually, true love triumphs, as it should, and she does assist him and release him back to Katerina. So he does go back to his true love in the village and continues this quest to create perfect love and perfect art.
There is something for everyone in this two-hour concert, with works ranging from classical to contemporary, folk, jazz, and a little New Orleans thrown in the mix. Other works include The Rose Adagio, set to music by Tchaikovsky,
which is the tale of Sleeping Beauty. She is pursued by four handsome princes, from all over the world. Each of them offers her a rose, and it's quite a challenge for the ballerina because she's maintaining a very challenging balance while she's accepting roses from each of the princes.
There's a contemporary work set to Thelonious Monk's Round Midnight. Also, Dances of Zatmar, a Hungarian work performed by the Komenka Ethnic Dance Ensemble.
So what we can expect to see in this folk dance will be very demure ladies dancing in circles, too shy, perhaps, to look at the gentlemen who are slapping their boots and showing off for the women.
The program rounds out with a tribute to George Gershwin. In the end, Abruzzle is hoping
that people walk away realizing that we don't have to always look to New York as the supreme in dance. The audiences may perhaps be surprised by what great talent and creativity resides so close to us.
Loyola Ballet celebrates the university's centennial with classic and contemporary works. Performances run Friday and Saturday, 8 p.m., in Roussel Hall on Loyola's main campus. And we have something extra in our Lanyap Corner. The 2012 Beaujolais Nouveau Festival, hosted by the French American Chamber of Commerce, kicks off Thursday night from 7 to 10 at the J.W. Marriott Hotel at 614 Canal Street. You can taste the latest Beaujolais Nouveau along with a variety of culinary specialties from New Orleans restaurants, with live music by the Yak Pack and Armand St. Martin. Celebrity guest Poppy Tooker, host of WWNO's Louisiana Eats, will be on hand to sign her latest cookbook, Madame Biguet, Recipes of Old New Orleans Creole Cookery. There will also be a live auction. And the Dutch Alley Artist Co-op is celebrating its 9th anniversary with an art show and reception Saturday from 6 to 9 p.m. at 912 North Peters Street, where Dumaine meets Decatur in the historic French Market. 24 artists will be on hand at the Dutch Alley Artist Co-op, which is managed and operated by its members. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.